So I start opening drawers and looking for like next of kin stuff and whatever paperwork is there. And I hear, can I get FD to my location? I'm like, why are you getting FD? And she's dead.
She wasn't dead?
Oh, no.
She's too fresh.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Never let Saida catch you napping.
Ooh.
This is 56, a Pinellas County Sheriff's Office podcast. I'm Ricky Butler with Laura Sullivan and Ashley Cooley. Today, we kind of have a repeat guest, but not really, because Deputy Saida Robinson DeBerg actually sat in as part of her role in staff inspections when we recorded our very first episode. We're excited to have her back as our guest. So we're going to learn all about Saida. But first, Ashley has a question. This is the worst part, by the way.
If you were at all nervous coming in, this is the scariest
this is
part.
What's to
so
be
once you get
about.
Through this.
I literally just said that. I'm ready, though.
I don't know about that. What is a food combination that you swear by, but other people judge you for?
Food.
Mm-hmm. I'm really boring with food. I'm very curious to hear your answer because you are also pretty boring.
My answer's weird. But, yeah. I wanted to see if anybody else has one.
I like so many foods that people consider weird in general. I mean, you know my sardine thing. Sardines with bacon pepper jam.
Yep, that's it. Winner.
Yeah, we're done.
You win. Yeah, that's weirder than mine.
How does that even happen?
How did you find that out?
Did you trip in the grocery store?
It's kind of
store?
Like the Reese's peanut butter cup.
No, it is nothing like the Reese's peanut butter cup. It is... Something bad happened. How did that happen?
I don't want to talk about my trauma on this podcast.
Okay. All right. I mean, because that sounds traumatic, just your combination. So, all right.
Wow.
Moving on.
I have nothing like that. And I love eating. Everybody knows that I eat everything all the time, but nothing.
Except sardines.
But nothing nasty like that. So
gestures towards you.
Totally judging. I'm sorry.
No, judge away.
That brought me back to my grandfather. He used to eat sardines in that can. And I was like, fuck, eats.
There it is.
Oh,
sorry.
Got it. Yeah.
Anyway, what I will do, though, is I am a candy person. Uh-huh. So M&M's and Skittles. I have to separate them before I eat them. Is that like it's mandatory?
Where do they come together?
Well, you mean
you eat them together?
I'm so sorry.
Oh,
excuse me. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Like a bag of Skittles.
I was like, I've never had
separate them by color.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I was like, I've never got a bag. Oh, you
don't do that. I do.
Interesting.
And then another thing is salt and vinegar potato chips, Lay's, and Smart Food. That works. Try that together.
Oh,
what's Smart Food? Is that the popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
The popcorn? Okay. All right. That sounds good, actually.
I genuinely think I have any weird food combination that I like that throws other people off. I eat something like by itself. Like, I grew up eating tuna, like out of the can, and I will just straight up eat tuna out of the can without doing anything else to it. But that's
if
about
you put
as
bacon pepper jam on it, you'd be happier.
maybe I haven't tried it, but I cannot think of a single thing that I really swear by, a combination that makes other people like I'm very normal and average. I'm not even gonna try to go there because it's not even exciting.
I mean, I think that tuna straight out of the can is something.
Tuna straight up, yeah. I mean,
I've done that.
Yeah,
that's a hard no for me all day, every day.
Not Laura's?
That's a harder no. I grew up eating this. I don't know where my family got it from, but grilled cheese, but then like preserves with it, like jelly.
Mm-hmm. Like pepper bacon jam.
Not that. No.
I think everything's better with
no
pepper
bacon in my jam. Like I'll do raspberry preserves. So it's that savory and sweet.
That actually sounds good. I kind of want to try that.
It's really good. Yeah. Have you ever had a Monte Cristo?
Yes.
So that's what I think it's born from, but it's without raspberry. Being deep fried. Mm-hmm. It's without ham in it, basically.
Yeah.
So
I like it. I like that idea. Yeah. I'm going to try that.
No.
I would try that, but not.
What is the difference between preserve and jam?
Oh.
You're the environmentalist.
You looked the right direction.
Yes.
I know. I'm learning.
I think jelly is... Jelly. I know you didn't ask about jelly.
But
jelly is strained, so it's doesn't have little bits of fruit or anything in it. I think jam is thicker, and preserves is maybe the thickest. I think it's like a continuum
and
from jelly to jam to
Allison
preserves.
Allison is nodding. Are we onto something
here? Is that about it?
Okay, we're getting there. All right, that's good enough. That answers my question. I did not. We had a closet jelly expert, liquefied fruit guy. Okay.
I also know the difference between a jungle and a forest.
Yeah. We did. We learned that from Deputy, or Corporal Feinberg. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right, Saida, you have really a curious route to law enforcement. And I think we've noticed a trend after our last episode with Corporal Feinberg. He's from Massachusetts.
Wow, mm-hmm. Boston, from Massachusetts.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're on to something.
We're
here.
Doing something here.
All right.
And in general, a Northeast trend.
Yeah.
That's before that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We're on
to
something.
The fun
here.
Ones.
We're not sure what. First it was white bald guys, mm-hmm. and now we've graduated to geographic. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So. How you really have a kind of a cool story finding your way into law enforcement. So tell us about that. When you were a kid, is that what you wanted to be? What were your career goals?
Well, maybe also start, where were you?
Oh, yeah, that too. That too.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
I don't think we said that.
We didn't.
No, when I was a kid, absolutely not. And not that I didn't like law enforcement. I just didn't think that was anything on my mind or radar at the time. So I left. Excuse me, I'm going to stay in Massachusetts for a little while. And I'm going to go back because I did
Please.
Hear. I'm going to jump all over the place.
Please.
That's my squirrel.
Okay. We
you just go with it.
Absolutely.
And, go
okay,
for
good.
It.
That's what we
That's
do.
That's how my brain works.
Right. So.
Thank you. Because this is going to go bad really fast.
No, it won't.
However, every time I listen to these podcasts, somebody says something about things they say or know from, and nobody recognizes it.
Mm.
Who said nip? That they drink nips, those little bottles
Detective
of wine.
Detective Plum.
Yeah, Plum.
Killed mm-hmm. it. I know what that was. When he said it, I laughed so hard. I'm like, yeah, I know what a nip is, right?
Right.
But just yesterday, somebody was giving me directions, and he said, well, you're going to go ahead and bust a U-E and come back this way. And I said, that is another word that people don't use. A U-E, have you heard that?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I heard that
apparently,
one. Yeah.
Specifically, bust a U-E.
Yeah. He said, bust a U-E. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. But apparently, at one point, somebody said, that's not a thing, and they never called it a U-E. And also a rotary.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people call it a turnabout here. I never heard of a turnabout, but
a roundabout.
A roundabout.
Are you from another planet? A turnabout.
It's called a rotary. I don't even know what either one of those were until I got
That's
here.
A phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, rotary. Mm-hmm. It's a rotary in Massachusetts that you go through a rotary.
Oh, look at that.
And there were, yeah. So anyway,
we'll be able to compile like a Rosetta Stone of.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Regional sayings. Yeah. Sponsored
another
by 56.
Glossary.
I knew someone, instead of saying like road, he would say on the main drag. Like,
yeah.
He was northern. Yeah.
Down here in Florida.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. It's a road.
Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. So
back to
Little Saida in Massachusetts.
Yes. Well,
or wherever.
Yeah. Right. Well, by way of Brooklyn, I was born in New York. I was a little seed in New York. And then I.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother got a job. I was. It actually is true.
We're beginning at the very beginning.
There we go. Yeah. Cider.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then my mom got a job at the post office. She was a mail lady, and she mm-hmm. moved to Boston, and she moved us to Boston, and that's how I got there. So from elementary school on, I all my bad years and formative years of being, you know, wild child was in Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts.
Yeah. And then I had children, and that changed everything. And I came to Florida on a field trip in school, mm-hmm. and it was February. It was freezing in Boston. It was absolutely ridiculous. They had to de-ice the wings of the plane before mm-hmm. we got to Florida. Got to Florida, it was like 85 degrees. We were in Disney. They had palm trees. It was so pretty. I'm like, everybody doesn't live in Florida? What is going on
What's wrong with these people?
I know. So I'm that person that kind of came here and stayed. And so as soon as I got on my feet, we shipped it up and moved to Florida.
Right.
So...
But when you're a little girl, like, did you have career goals? Did you know what you wanted to do?
Mm-hmm. All I could think of is my aunt would come home with her high heel shoes on and her fancy dress and her hair all curly. And mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to work in a big, nice building with nice clothes on. And that's going to be my job. I don't give a hell what I do, but that's what I'm going to be doing.
Do you know what your aunt did? What did she do?
Insurance.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I remember.
Yeah. And then you did, in high school, you did ROTC?
I did ROTC. Yeah. And that's how I got to Florida. That was my field trip in ROTC.
Oh, that was a field trip. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Thank you, ROTC. Yep.
So how did you find yourself in ROTC? Because it sounds like you didn't really have that in your head. Because that's a kind of, you know, obviously it's a I don't know how to describe it, like, but it's a militaristic, you know, program, obviously.
It is. Something must have caught my eye. They had to wear a uniform. And, you know, in high school, nobody's wearing uniforms. You're kind of corny. You're weird if you wear that. But something drew me to the nice uniform. I was like, oh, and there was some kind of structure to it.
Did you need that structure as a kid?
I was the youngest. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, let me fix this. I have one sister, one blood sister. My mother had two girls, so just me and her. She's older than me. But we grew up with three cousins, and they're like sisters. We grew up like sisters. We in the same house for a lot of the time. So I was the youngest. So I watched them get in trouble. And so I learned what to do and what not to do. And I learned how to kind of finesse, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
So
absolutely.
I was kind of a low key,
learn
you know,
what it,
and so when I would get in trouble, it was like little things,
sure.
That, you know, it was quite a few things. No one would ever know. I have to take it to my grave.
Yeah. Well,
guess, you know?
We're not going to make you confess all that.
No, we're not doing that.
So how long were you in ROTC then? Like all of high school or when did that, I don't know when that started. I don't know anything about it.
So track, cheerleading, and then
and ROTC.
And ROTC, yeah, I think 11th and 12th grade.
Okay. Actually, yeah. At any point where you're like, maybe I'll do the military? You were always just like, nope, I'll do this in high school, and then...
I wanted to go to the Air Force, and I was an adult, and I did have children at the time, and they were like, you got to do, you know, sign your rights over or something like that.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing that.
Didn't want to do that.
That changed everything. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... you did go to college, mm-hmm. had your first child pretty young, mm-hmm. and that kind of obviously, as it should, changes trajectory a bit or presses pause a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do then?
Moved to Florida right around that time. That I had one child, well, excuse me, both my older children were born in Massachusetts. And then when my son was 8 months old, we moved to Florida. So that was the beginning of my lifestyle. And at the time, because I'm married, divorced, remarried now, mm-hmm. but at the time my husband then he didn't care. He was like, we were gonna go, we'll go with you. So he we went to Florida, and we said, well, I guess we got to do something with our lives. We were young, we were 20s. I was a, you know, before I became an adult, I was a parent, so we had to figure this out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we started working, and there was this guy who hired my husband at the time to work with people with disabilities. And he was brand new. The owner of the company was brand new doing this. My husband like got a paper check written, handwritten check to like his first paycheck kind of mm-hmm. thing. And I like to say that I'm recklessly ambitious. I was like, what is he doing mm-hmm. that we can't do? We can run a business like this. He's brand new. We went through all the steps and everything to start a supported living service for people with disabilities, fairly young. And it was fun. We actually got it. We got approved. We're these... business owners and taking care of people with disabilities, which I loved. That was probably, let me say, when I became a deputy, I never looked back. This is probably the most rewarding job I've ever had.
Right, but doing that
different,
was right
very
up there.
Different. And I think my heart, it was just so many things as a young person, not knowing mm-hmm. the needs of people with disabilities and the things that I learned for them, that grew me up even more. You know, so as a parent too.
Was it like a residential kind of program, or how did you interact with the clients?
Go to their homes.
Okay,
so we would
okay.
Supported living. So if these people would have certain needs, so mm-hmm. some needed maybe more care, some needed less care,
sure.
but just to integrate into society and be able to have jobs and, you know, be able to go to doctor's appointments and stuff like that, we would help them with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we started that supported living service, and we did it for... 7 or 8 years. And
wow.
then I know it was wonderful, right? We're young. We didn't know anything. We're like, okay, we can just maintain it, having a good old time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're young. And I didn't know better at the time. So there was some legislative change. And at the time, again, I didn't know anything about politics. Didn't care. I didn't know how it would affect me directly in mm-hmm. my own pocket. Mm-hmm. Right. Until it did.
Right.
there was a specific
That's
program,
how it goes.
specific program that was funding the money that we got to do the business. Mm-hmm. And that change, you know, cut it in half. So the services that we were providing is no longer, you know, this amount is going to be half of it. And so you have to take care of the same amount of people with half the money. So then it was like a 2-to-1 ratio where we'd have to have two clients to make the same money as one client to do it. And then they cut it another 30% like 6 months later or some nonsense like that. I don't remember the timeline. But whatever it was a rapid, between 1 to 2.5 years, it went from boom to boom, and we were like, oh God, we got to get a job. We don't have any money. Like, it was like hemorrhaging money. I was like, oh God, we got to do something. So my cousin, the ones I grew up with, mm-hmm. worked in the jail.
They came down here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. So
your
from Boston.
Came down too?
Okay. I was not the first one to Boston. I had a cousin, two cousins that moved down here. My aunt who worked in insurance, the fancy one, mm-hmm. she moved here first.
Oh. So. Okay. All right.
So her and her her children were here. And so she worked at the jail. And she said, well, the sheriff's office is hiring. And I said, oh, I knew I needed part-time. I didn't need full-time at the time because I was still, you know, juggling a lot of things mm-hmm. and I still had kids. So I started working at the courthouse in JOB mm-hmm. as a CJS. So it was like building security. So I would be at the MAG when you first walk in mm-hmm. and you would, you know, go through people's stuff.
And that's criminal justice specialist for our listeners. Mm, no, I gotcha. That's what we're here for.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I started there and I would be at the MAG. And then, I mean, I said, by the grace of God, I know it kind of just worked the way it did. There was this whole push for people retiring, and they were going to start doing an academy for the sheriff's office. And they were like, oh, the sheriff's office is going to sponsor the academy. They're going to pay you to go to the academy. And I'm thinking, you're going to pay me to go, you know?
Yeah.
And so at the time I was at the courthouse, I made so many, like, friends, and people were so nice. And it was just so different to see, you know, police officers in this light. Like, it was, mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, they're so cool. Like, I really, you know, naive, had no idea. Not that I cared one way or the other about sure. police, but it just to see them in the background and mm-hmm. see how they operate. So many, and a lot of nice women too. So it was kind of like, oh, there's women too. Right? It's kind of cool. I'd be a super mom cop, right? And literally, that's kind of how that was my transition to saying, okay, you know, they're going to try this. I can try to be a cop. Let's see. And it was almost like that show, like, Let's Be Cops, right? And it was like, yeah. And I'm a jerk. I'm like, I'm fit. I can run. I can do, you know, I can
right.
do this
I
stuff.
Can do it, yeah.
And I'm super, super, super competitive because they were like, oh, you know, you go to the academy. You can't get, you know, a bad grade because they'll kick you out. I'm like, I don't get bad grades. You know, I was bad at school, but I was smart. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be failing anything. I don't mm-hmm. fail. So right. that was, so I did, I wanted to go through the academy and I put my memo in and I'm learning the process of, sure. you know, law enforcement because I was a civilian. You don't.
So, and this is the law enforcement academy.
Law enforcement
so
academy.
So did you ever consider the jail at all or?
You know what? I don't think I considered the jail because that is not what was offered at the time.
Okay.
If I had to be fair, I don't remember even having an option. Mm-hmm. I remember it being the law enforcement academy.
Right.
So.
Which could have been. So
yeah.
Not always.
Uh-huh.
Same time, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. That's kind of how it transitioned. So I don't remember saying, no, I don't want to go to the jail, mm-hmm. but I don't remember being an option. And right. I don't think I would have wanted to go to the jail. There's just something about it. I like sunshine and daylight. It's my personality.
They don't want to
be locked in. Like, I was like, you put me in a dorm. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, I need to get out. So, whatever. So that was just the option at the time. And so that's the route I took. Mm-hmm. You go through the academy, you got to do all these tests and everything like that. And so here I am, like, I am not failing. I remember kids used to tell me, Mom is studying, she doesn't want to get a bad grade. And I was like, anything less than 100.
Yeah, huh?
Anything less than 100, I was mad, right? So so mad. So
I get that.
In the academy, though, you know, closer towards the end, everybody who was getting good grades is kind of starting to look at, like, what did you get? And what did you get? Mm-hmm. So there were three, you know, they get the three at the top for whoever, you know, did the best. In my opinion, right, there was all the high liability tests are the ones that they use for the top three. So all together, I did the very best. But on the high liability, I was second. So I was like,
oh,
damn
man.
It.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did
it. And these are all the written or
the
tests?
The written tests,
okay,
yeah.
Written, mm-hmm. Okay.
All the, you know, whatever.
Nothing physical at this point, just written.
Do you remember okay. who was number one, and do you still have a vendetta against them?
No,
in the
no,
agency?
No. To be fair, I think our class, it was 183, I think. I love every single person in I think we had a good class. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I know there's some infighting in other classes, but I think I can call any one of my classmates right now. We would have like a fun, loving conversation. Some are here, some are gone, but I still absolutely love him. And it was, he's actually a reserve deputy now. Five coat, me, mm-hmm. five coat, and Segretti. So we're the top three. So
nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the physical stuff, though, you know, the high liability stuff, you know, kind of that's mm-hmm. all new, relatively new to you. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you got a little bit of something for CJS being at the courthouse, but how was that?
That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what was funny is my cousin who worked here told me, she said, if you're going to go through the academy, once it started rolling, and she's like, listen, I don't know if you remember P90X and Insanity, those videos, right?
Yeah.
She said, do Insanity. And she said, you start today. And literally I was doing, you know, okay, Sean T, right? Whatever. And I was so pumped. I mean, I started terrible. And by the end of the time I did Insanity was the time that Academy was starting. Mm-hmm. And I was like ready. I was like, who am I? I'm like, I'm strong, right? And then when we get to the Academy, you don't start DT right away. It's like maybe 1 or 2 weeks. And so mm-hmm. I was like, when are we going to start doing the fun stuff? Like, when are we going to start doing? And then when I did, I killed it. There was never a time when I was like, not, if you tell me to front lean rest, I was on it. Let's do it.
Also, like you said, you know, you went to college, mm-hmm. you after a bit, you came down here, you did that business for 8-9 years, mm-hmm. and then you went into the Academy. So like, what's your age at this point? Are you in your 30s?
This is over. This is.
I'm just curious because when you look at the Academy right now, mm-hmm. it's these people straight from college, mm-hmm. and I'm just saying you're whooping their ass. And
it's so much nicer now. Like,
that's what I mean.
Yeah. So no, I was 30. I was 30. Okay. 31. 30. 30 turning 31 yeah. in the Academy. And I was.
Was most of the class like straight
babies.
Out of college? Yeah, exactly.
Dang it. I think Grunman, and I love him. He's my baby. I love him to death. His son, I'm like, I'm trying to steal him. I'm working on that, but whatever. I think he might have been the youngest. Or was it Andrew Lynch? He's at Largo now. But there were 2 20-year-olds in our class. Mm-hmm. I didn't think brand new of kids. So.
Interesting point, though, Ashley, to bring that up, because we do, you know, one thing we talk about a lot is how, like, people, we get the question all the time, like on social media, like, you know, well, in Florida, you can be 19 and be a law enforcement mm-hmm. deputy, you know, why do you guys 20, you know, why 21, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And it's like, sheriff's pretty straight up about it. It's like, you have 2 more years of life experience. Did you observe that? I mean, when you're in there with these young kids, basically, mm-hmm. you know, you've run a business, you've done these other things. Like, there had to be some times you're sitting in class and you're like, no, honey, no.
I did see that a mm-hmm. lot. And you know what? You don't pay attention to it is if you live at home and you've known what you've known for your entire life, mm-hmm. if you go to someone's house and they're arguing or fighting about something and you've never seen that, you're kind of like, well, there's a problem here. There's a problem. No, they can fight. They can, it's you know, okay, yeah. you know, or argue. Mm-hmm. I don't say fight. That's wrong. But physically fight, they can't. But right. So there were things that people will, you know, very specific. Let me get a good one. What I did learn, but I didn't like it, but I learned it. People live differently.
Sure.
And when I went out for the first time, like I've seen nasty houses. It is what it is. And I remember in the Academy or at some teaching point where they said, you know, it's okay to have a nasty house. It's not, you don't take people out of their house because their house is dirty. That's not a thing. So they would go into these houses and say, oh God, these kids can't live like this. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. I'm like, it's a dirty house. You know, you don't take kids for that. And I didn't even know you couldn't take kids for like being homeless. Like you can be homeless in America. You don't remove them unless there's like they're not eating or, you know, stuff right. like that. So coming from maybe a really, really nice home and not seeing just nastiness or something like that, you could be walking into somebody's house and trying to do a removal when that's not where we're at. You need to give right. them more resources or something like that. So
right.
I don't know. There were things like that I would see. A lot of wanting to do a lot. I don't know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Like a little overzealous?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And where it didn't need it because it was normal. But if it's not your normal, you don't know.
Right.
So if you can grow up in a house where there's a lot of, you know, this is one of the examples I gave someone. When I get mad, not I get mad, but if I get mad and from somebody's house, then they're like dropping plates on the floor and breaking plates everywhere and they get mm-hmm. home. That's what they do when they get mad. So if you walk into that house and you see that person breaking plates and bringing, you can't do that, you can't do that. I'm like, there's their plates. They're leave them alone.
Right.
Leave them alone. You know, it's okay, but that's not okay. That's not. I'm like, it is. You know, give them a little bit of time kind of thing. But
right.
I think it's shocking if you don't see someone who just yells all the time. And mm-hmm. so you go in the house and you're like, you're yelling. It's okay. Like, give them a little
not
bit of.
The law.
And right. I think that's kind of how I looked at it. Some people just need, you know, space and time. Like, you know, no one calls 911 to say hi. They've called 911 when they have got nothing else to do but to get help. Mm-hmm. So if you go in there and try to, like, you know, you got to stop yelling or you got to stop, you know, give a little bit of grace and a little time to kind of figure themselves out and then try mm-hmm. to help them. But I think jumping right on somebody while they're still in their moment that they need to be, then I think that doesn't help. Maybe try to de-escalate a little better.
That's good. So. I mean, because, you know, I think when you say that to somebody, it's like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But like the true application of it, like, yeah, you know, there's something that comes with life experience. So.
Mm-hmm. Seeing a little bit more.
So you get through the academy and then you're starting FTO. But I think we have to take a turn on this and pause briefly.
A little interruption.
I think there was an interruption with you starting FTO. Ironically, because you say you're the oldest young person. Because of a certain video program you religiously watched. And
yes.
Oh.
Okay. It started with my father's mother, my paternal grandmother, right? Mm-hmm. She was so cute. And something about curly hair, right? That's why I love Laura. But anyway, she used to sit at 7 o'clock and do her little curlers and watch Wheel of Fortune. Mm-hmm. That was her thing. And that was me just sitting up under my grandmother watching her curl her hair and watch Wheel of Fortune. So I'm watching with her. And that just became my thing. I was a avid Wheel of Fortune fan, and I was good at it. I was answering questions, you know, any questions, answering, solving puzzles before they would finish. So, lifelong goal, I'm getting on Wheel of Fortune. That's going to happen, right? How do you do that? I don't even know. But in my mind, I was going to be on Wheel of Fortune. So, in Florida, somehow or another, I was watching one day, and they said, "We're the Wheelmobile." Remember that? I don't even know if you watch it, you know. But anyway, there's a Wheelmobile.
I watched it with my nana, too.
Okay. Yeah. It goes from city to city, and they said they're going to be in Clearwater. And this is still me trying to just, you know, before the academy, I think. I don't even know.
Oh, when the process started.
Yeah, it was way before the process started. So I had went to the Wheelmobile, and so I went there, and there was a cattle call. It was so many people, and you had to go get in this line and hope that they call you in this auditorium. You put your name on a piece of paper, wait in the auditorium for them to call your name. So funny, this is a cute story, actually. The third time we did it, so they didn't call me the first time, they didn't call me the second time, and it was only going to do it three times, so I'm bummed, but I'm going to wait, of course, right? So it was a little card, and the lady behind me, I kid you not, said, "Fold the ends of your paper. That way it doesn't get stuck to someone else's." And sure, I folded my thing and they called my name. I was like, "You gotta be kidding me." Like literally that was how I got called. Last thing was come back to this hotel, do this puzzle. If we select you, you'll be selected from these puzzles that you did and then we'll call you. And I said, okay, well fine. So I went and did the puzzles and went to wait for the call. And the call came on the first day I was supposed to start FTO. Bringing back the story, right? And I remember saying, "Oh my God, I don't even know what to do." Like I was like, "They're not going to let me do this." But I was like, "I'm going on Wheel of Fortune. I'm going to be AWOL again, like Becky."
Did you go knock on the sheriff's door? Yeah. Yeah. Excuse.
That's how I felt. I was like, "I'm so torn. I don't know what to do." So I remember it was Sergeant Doherty at the time, and Lieutenant Garrett at the time were the FTO coordinators.
I remember that duo well.
Yeah, they came to our class all the time, and I remember going, I think it was Doherty was the first person I saw, and I said, "I know this is going to sound absolutely ridiculous, but I just got this email, right?" "And they want me to come this weekend, and I know you already set the schedule. Can you please let me go? I don't even know what to do, but I want to go." And he laughed and he goes, "What?" He's like, "What are you serious?" I was like, "Yes, and I really want to go, please." Yeah. So they switched around a couple of things, and he was like, "Well, you not necessarily giving you time off, but because it was, I think they were 12s at the time, so you don't start this weekend, you start next weekend as your whatever." So he switched my shift so that I can go to California that Friday and come back that Monday or Sunday and be ready to do, you know, FTO. So that's basically what I did. Okay, so I go to California, and of course I'm nervous as all hell. The first one comes up, and you know how they start doing you don't have to spin the wheel, they just start putting letters on the thing. Yeah. And there was like a place, and two letters popped up, and I was like, bam, I got it. Lansing, Michigan. And they were like, "What? You got?" And it was it, right? I'm like, "Oh, shit. I'm about to..." Yes, please. So I was like, "All right, I'm going to be..." I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to win." So then the next puzzle, I don't remember. It might have been the very next puzzle, whatever it was, but it was huge. And I was like, "Oh, my gosh, this is going to be a big one." So like, I feel my head spinning. I'm all excited. And I controlled the wheel the entire time. I don't think it was out of my hand. I'm just spinning and calling letters, spinning and calling numbers. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm on Wheel of Fortune and I'm about to win this because I know it, right?" And so probably around like, I'm sorry, like $19,000, right? It was where I had spun this wheel up to. And I'm looking at this board and I'm like, I know this puzzle. I got this. This puzzle is done. It's like five letters not up on the board. And I'm thinking, okay, let me solve. Because if I spin again, this is it. I'm not going to make it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to solve. And I don't remember the actual puzzle or what it was, but it was Hogwarts School for Witches and Wizardry or
of
something.
Of witchcraft and wizardry. Right?
Yeah, something like, maybe. Yeah. Witchcraft and wizardry. So I must have said, not must have, I know what I said, because he was, as soon as I said it, I was like, Hogwarts School for Witchcraft and Wizards. And he was like, And I, in my mind, I'm like, yes. And then I hear him saying no. And I'm like, what's going on? And all I could think of is, oh, no, I didn't say it right. And he's showing the guy next to me got it. And I was like, I'm going to punch him, right? But it was, so he killed it. He solved the puzzle. I mean, and that, and it was it. And that was after that, I was like, I don't want to play no more.
So we're back in sunny Pinellas County. You start FTO late after all that to lose on Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm. So I was all bummed out.
How was that? How was FTO for you? Did you do well?
I think I did good.
Yeah,
I did.
You made it. I mean,
right? Barely. No, just kidding. Two funny stories that I thought of that I was like, we can't. I don't know if I can say or not say.
Say. We can always cut them out.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
We're not going to.
No.
So now, mind you, let's go back to, this is terrible. I'm new. I have zero law enforcement experience. Dead bodies, right?
Mm-hmm. So, right.
I've heard of them.
Right? You gotta experience that. They want to get you a dead body. You got to start seeing these bodies. This is going to be a thing you're going to do. You're going to see them, right? I remember going into this condo, and it's set up where you walk in the front door, and it's like a just a straight corridor. You go straight. It's living room and then kitchen area. But off to the left, there would be bathroom and bedroom. That's all it was. So I remember walking into this this front room, and I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, so
this is obviously a deceased person. Call.
Yes, this is a deceased person.
Oh, call. A real one.
Yes, yeah, okay. Ooh, got me right. So
can't buy a vowel on this one.
No, I'm in it. But I was ready. I was right. Like, I didn't learn. I got to count pills. I got to do this stuff right. So I'm ready. So I go in. And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay. So I saw the kitchen area, and it was this poor man just kind of sitting at the table, kind of with his hand on his head, like elbow on the table, hand on head, and just kind of sitting there. And I'm like, oh, God, this poor man's wife is dead in the room. This is terrible. So I go, I look at him, and I cut off towards, like, the side, the bathroom where and the bedroom would be, and they were like, where are you going?
It's him? No.
Oh, damn.
He was sitting there just like, I was like, he's not dead. I was just waiting for somebody to say, pranked, you know, we got you, ha,
yeah,
ha,
got
ha.
You.
No, he was legit dead. And I would walk right past him. So somebody turned me around. I was like, oh, I was looking for medicine or something.
Like, good save.
Oh, yeah, I saw him obviously contemplating
that's
how
most people, die.
I've never
in
seen.
In that type of
And he didn't
pose.
Look. Dispositioned or anything. Mispositioned. He just looked like he was sitting at the table and sad.
He had a bad dream.
Yeah, he just looked like he was just sad. And I was like, oh God, he's just sitting there. And then so when they finally, you know, this is what you got to do. And they moved him. And then you could see like the blood pooling and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he had been, it was not very long. I think he was getting dressed to go somewhere. And I think he just sat down and just died. I don't know what the problem was. So whoever called and said, hey, he didn't show up. So it was just hours later, and I guess what they call a fresh body. So I had a lot of fresh bodies. I didn't have a lot of, like, decomps and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, one or two bad decomps, and someone saved me. First of all, they give us these nice gas masks not to have to deal with that smell. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's like, oh, you put on your gas mask. You're a punk, right? I was like, give me my gas mask. I'm not playing these games.
Hell yeah.
But then there was one, I might have been out of FTO. I might have just kind of got somebody to help me out on one of them, because I was like, I'm not going in there. I was like, I'm not going in there. It was like climbing over all kind of nastiness in like a mobile home park.
Right.
A mobile home park, mobile home. Mm-hmm. It was so nasty. And they were all the way in the back. And there were vultures on the top of the thing.
Oh, that's
trying
a clue.
To
get
it
that's
was,
a clue.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
I didn't do that one. We don't got to talk about it.
Was,
yeah, but my fresh bodies were good. And then you want to talk about other fresh bodies?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, there's another one. Uh-huh. Let's go.
This one I'm probably fired.
Nah.
Okay. We were going, there was another call that this older lady didn't go to work. She was supposed to go to work, and she goes to work all the time, and they all love her. She's a really nice lady, but they know she has some kind of medical condition. So if she didn't show up, they were concerned.
That ain't good.
So they called, and they asked us to go do a welfare check. So me and the other, I think it was the sergeant at the time, or maybe my FTO. I'm not going to drop names, because if they know who it was, I hope they don't even remember this. But anyway, we go to this house, and we're knocking on the sides. We're tapping on windows, trying to see if anybody's in here. And the house is fairly secure. We couldn't see anything. So I think one way or another, finally somebody came with a key to get into the garage to get into the house. So we get into the house. And it's just a nice, clean house and whatever. So this lady lives on her own. So we go into, walk around, find her in the bedroom. And she's just laying in the bed, just peacefully and dead. I'm thinking, oh, they're going to be so sad. This old lady just died. I was like, oh, my God, this is terrible. So you know me. I'm looking for pills, right? So I start opening drawers and looking for, like, next of kin stuff and whatever paperwork mm-hmm. is there. And I remember kind of going off to the other side of the bed. And I hear, we have radios in our ear, but we're in the same room. And I hear, can I get FD to my location? I'm like, why the hell are you getting FD? She's dead.
She wasn't dead?
Oh, oh no.
She's too fresh.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Never let Saida catch you napping. Ooh.
Like, she's dead. Don't worry about it.
Just call FD.
Any call now, I'm like, FD, just come in. Just I don't even know.
Just in case.
I never.
He might be nothing. I don't know.
But now, maybe just, like, check some pulses.
Now, you know, I will touch every single person. I'll smack the shit out of him. Like, are you dead or alive? Because I'm not doing this anymore. Like, it was so bad. She was in a diabetic coma. I'm not laughing at that. I never saw that before. Talk about naive, right? I didn't know that was a thing. But, FD came in. They gave her like a cookie, and she was like, "I'm good. You can go."
You were ready to call it.
Send it out of the body bag.
Took all of her pills. Oh. Tried to call her family, and she just needed a cookie. Damn. That right there is probably why they have all those people that you wear the band that says, like, you know, this is my medical condition, or I just need a cookie.
As long as you look for it and not just go straight for the drawers.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So I feel so bad. She if she had died, she would have been beautiful. She was peaceful. And she just, I was like, oh, poor nice lady just died.
I was pretty sold on Recklessly Ambitious for a title for this. But now I think she just needs a cookie. She just needed a cookie. Yeah. There we are. All right. So, that was excellent.
Okay. Well, excellent. I don't know. We'll see if I don't get fired on that one. It was very early. Now everybody knows I don't play around with dead bodies. I'm on it. I was like, oh my
God. Yeah, let's see. Let's do some chest compressions. His whole bottom half is gone. It doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
He could
don't
still matter. Be there.
Try a cookie. Yes.
His hands works. Over there. Yeah. So you get through your freshest body.
Yes.
But you get FTO and all that stuff. Like, did you kind of gravitate to certain types of calls or cases you like to be involved in?
I liked I liked drugs
and
searching cars. So I had a really good time, you know, having fun with that kind of stuff.
Okay.
We were another deputy and I were doing traffic. We were literally out here to do traffic, and we were 56ing.
56ing.
Hey, get a cookie. Get a cookie, right? But we were waiting for traffic violations, I guess. So I'm sitting there and we're talking, and either, you know, my peripheral. You don't have peripheral hearing, right? But anyway, I hear a lot.
I mean, it's all pretty much peripheral because your ears are over there.
So it was both. I heard, and then out of peripheral, I saw, right? There we go. Let's go with that.
All
right.
There it is.
All right, we'll clean it up. But anyway, loud music, very, very loud music coming, you know, from the intersection. And so we look up, and it's this nice, nice, I think Camaro, like orange, pretty, very clean, nice-looking car. And I'm like, oh, that's cute, right? But loud music, no problem. That's not an offense. You can have loud music, mm-hmm. right? But when he rolled by, now, of course, I'm paying attention because I'm thinking, ooh, nice car. he had that tint, that dark tint on his tag. And I was like, ooh, got one, right? So so I was like, oh, okay, good. Now I get to see the car up close to him. So I pull him over. And my other partner who was with me, absolutely love him, Jacobs, Christopher Jacobs at mm-hmm. the time. He was an animal. He's on it. Anyway, we were good together. we pulled him over. Chris and I worked together in that area a lot. So we had like nonverbal cues with each other back mm-hmm. and forth. And so if he saw something or I saw something, we would kind of give each other a look. And it was like, we know what this is, right? So, of course, we pull him over and he's got this weed smell just coming out of the car. And I'm like, okay, come on. So very nice young man. I was like, I'm going to search your car because, you know, there's obvious weed smell in here. And he's like, well, I got this joint. And I was like, thank you. Going in, right? So we get him out of the car, and it took me 3 seconds because the first thing I checked was like under his seat, gun, right? So I look up, I'm like, Chris, get him. So we cuffed him, put him on his side, went through the car, got it. It was not a lot of drugs, but the gun was a problem because he was a felon. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of my early best cases because that was that traffic stop allowed me to later testify in federal court, which is kind of a big deal. I didn't even know that was a thing, but because there was a whole lot going on with that young man, even though super nice. But and I remember the lawyer was like, well, you can't stop anybody for loud music. And I said, I didn't. But he got my attention because of his loud music. Mm-hmm. I was like, that wasn't the case.
So why was it in federal court? To contest the stop, the actual, or did he have a lot of other stuff going on?
He had a lot of other stuff going on. And it was some other weird thing with like the city of Clearwater, because they asked me, did I know him or did I know anything about any priors that he had? And I said, no, this is a traffic stop. Because apparently he was trying to say that people were targeting him or something like that, something weird. And I was like, I have no part of that because I don't know that. But in the courtroom, when I walked in, he saw me and he's like, hi, deputy. Like, I was like, it's probably not good for you, but he was so. And so I think they thought that somehow I knew him because mm-hmm. of that, but no, that wasn't it. But
so, another teachable moment mm-hmm. if you're a felon in possession of a firearm or you have any other bad things you don't want attention for, mm-hmm. don't draw attention to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Drive a camo car, keep your windows rolled up, don't blow
put
your
a
speakers
tent on
out.
Your tag. Don't
that mm-hmm. is the. That is the one that drives me nuts is like, we know this is illegal, yet people do it.
Do it anyway.
And it's like, do you want, like, I mean, I personally don't care. I don't think any of our deputies personally care, but it's the law and it's law enforcement. So don't, mm-hmm. you're giving everybody a free pass to pull you over.
Absolutely.
And that's also like, that's not just Florida. That's
no,
like,
yeah, it's everywhere.
It's
yeah.
everywhere. So it's like, why do they even exist?
And then the new thing is wrapping tags. Have you seen any of those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've
which
seen
is
that.
Like, they'll just literally take a tag and do a wrap on it of whatever you want.
Yeah, so it matches the car.
So,
yes.
it's the actual tag, but it's just wrapped and they cut out the letters. And it looks cool, but it's illegal.
These ding dings. Why like, would they do that?
Okay. Anyway,
especially if you're driving dirty too, like, you know,
right. I'm just an old man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get off, you know, yelling at kids to get off the lawn, but it's like, why? So that was when you were still in patrol, obviously. Mm-hmm. You went to CPO at some point, which is when I think I first encountered you as a CPO. So how'd you get into CPO? How was that?
Again, you remember back when I didn't want to be in the jail because I just need sunlight
right.
every day. I'm very much a people person, mm-hmm. and I thought that would be like really, really good for me. I was like, you put me with these kids too, because that's my thing. I love the kids. But I just thought it was like a fun opportunity to get out and, you know, community police. So I went mm-hmm. for community police, and then the spot that I got was St. Pete Beach, and loved it. I learned a lot about the city, the things that they want or don't want, and I learned like.
So which beach were you assigned?
St.
Pete Beach. Okay.
Absolutely love St. Pete Beach.
Which is one of our contract cities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. For example, something like we had decoy cars in the city because they would complain about speeding. Mm-hmm. So we would put a decoy car, but kind of right when you come over.
So like a marked cruiser, though.
Yeah, a marked cruiser, nobody in it.
Is there like an inflatable deputy in it?
It should have, uh-huh. right?
Not a bad idea.
A canine in there. Because people like the canine.
See but if they're paying attention.
They are, no, right? That's all we need, right? Anyway, right off Corey, is it Corey that you come in on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so coming off Corey, tourists are all coming in, so they see the car, they slow down, it's right. helpful. Mm-hmm. But then I remember getting a complaint, and it was like, we don't want people to think we have a lot of crime here. We don't want that car sitting right in front of the. I was like.
That's classic.
Like, So you had half the town like, this is great. You're slowing the people down, and half the town, the city, saying, don't put that there because we don't want it to look bad.
So it's just like when people have neighborhoods complain about speeders and we go out there and do a detail and pull most of them over.
We get that a lot.
Yeah.
But CPO, all the events, all the fun stuff, it signed me up. I was ready for it. I absolutely love CPO. I don't think I had one bad memory of CPO. Just good people, good times. I absolutely loved it. But somehow in CPO, I kind of started liking, it must have been before CPO, but I started liking child victims, like not liking child victims, but wanting to do those cases. Like I felt bad. I loved these kids, and I'm thinking this trauma, these things that they're experiencing, I'm going to give these kids a hug. They need a hug, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm doing these cases, and I'm like, okay, I flocked to them, and I ran into Kalinda. He was a big CAC, or Crimes Against Children, corporal at the time, I think. And I remember going to one, and I was learning what a call-out was. And you get a call-out when a CAC detective, Crimes Against Children detective, would come out and say, okay, this case is enough for us to deal with today. We're going to handle it right now. So I remember him doing a call-out for us, and he was like, oh, you know, you did good. This is good for you. I think you would be good in CAC. And that was years ago on a call. So while I was in CPO, I was there for maybe like 3 years. Absolutely loved it. But then a CAC detective opportunity opened, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to try that. I think that's where I want to be. That is going to be my claim to fame. I'm going to be the best CAC detective. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to save all these babies, or, you know, save the day, right, because I love them. And I got to CAC, and actually right at the same time, Kalinda was going in there to be the sergeant. So I learned under that same guy who I just randomly saw, you know, years ago on a call. And I would say under his tutelage, like I, you know, right.
That was a Hogwarty thing to say.
See, we're going to round this all together. It's going to be messy, but it's going to come together.
That's
right?
What we do.
He walked me through a lot of like really, really good big cases. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, but he, you know, this is how you do this. This is what you're looking for. Make sure you touch this. This, you know, make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. Anyway, great. I loved it. Thought I was doing pretty good. At the time, we had two internet crime detectives who would only do porn online, like children pornography. Like, so they would be in another room watching the images and doing like the pictures and filtering through that. Both of those people went on maternity leave at the same time, and so they started giving us those cases. Oof. Right. So in my mind, I think, you know, I think human beings filter out the really ugly parts. You tell me your story. I hear it. I know it's terrible, but I don't eat that image.
Right.
But when you see it in a video or in it, you don't unsee those things. It broke my heart. I was like, I'm not sleeping. Like, I just see this little girl's face, and it's breaking my heart. So that kind of messed me up. But I realized quickly after that I was like, CAC is not going to be my thing. Because I couldn't say no. You don't want to let your team down and tell them I'm not doing those. You don't do that. You know, that's not fair to other people who don't want to see it either. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to do your fair share in sharing the part that everybody, the ugly part that everybody has to do, that wasn't going to be my thing. So it was about a year, and I was like in full on tears, like, this is not
not for me.
I'm sorry, but this is not a thing, you know. Yeah. So, and
which is hard to do, because when you get to a position like that, you commit for a certain length of time, because it takes a lot of investment to train you, and they expect you to be there two or 3 years, and so it's
lot
hard to tell
of training.
Them that, I bet.
Yeah, it was a lot of training. It was a hard thing to want to do, or I have to do, but it just wasn't even something that my soul could take. Again, me and my sunshine and bright lights, I was like, I need the sun again. Like, this is getting heavy. But I did want to have another good claim to fame from CAC, because one of the cases that I had, I guess I can say it now because it's officially closed. I just got the state attorney just called me and said she pled to 45 years. They were seeking the death penalty for her for killing her child.
Wow.
And so they went back and forth since it's 2019, this has been dragging out. And then she finally said, you know, owned up to it and said, yes, I did it. And so that was a big one.
Yeah, it's rewarding stuff. You just have to. And I think that's, you know, that's the thing that people, we've had this conversation before with others, like you want to do that thing, right? But there's also everything in between. Like, for every great gratifying moment, there's, I don't want to see that again.
Yeah.
And you got to live with it. But it's good that you're able to, when we when you do work at a larger agency, you do have those opportunities to try things, and then not so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we talked with the last episode with Corporal Feinberg about people trying out for canines. Like, yep, it's not for me yeah. in the tryout process, but that's not, you know, when mm-hmm. some of the specialty units and investigative operations, like,
there's not a tryout.
Yeah. And you just have mm-hmm. to, it's like, how much of this do I have to really see and what's happening? And it would be, mm-hmm. it would definitely be like the internet crimes against children stuff that's,
yeah,
you know,
because it's insane. Yeah. It is, it's tough. And I knew those things would come up here and there, but I think when it became over and over, like daily, that right. was something that it was like, I didn't get enough time to adjust from the other one, or I didn't mm-hmm. get enough time to right. reset yeah. from that. And you know, like, children crimes are terrible because your dots connect in regular crime. If I punch you in the face, you know why. We had a fight, this is a fight.
Right.
Yeah. But when you see someone hurting a child, you know, defenseless or something like that, it takes longer for you to say, okay, I'm back, you know, to a normal
right.
person yeah. to understand that. You never right. understand it, so you just are stuck somewhere where you just can't get that back right. to align.
To deal with it.
So, yeah, that was not good. But they were so nice. They said, listen, this is not a punishment. We understand this is tough for anybody. Mm-hmm. we have the staff inspection spot open if you want to just take that to kind of decompress, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't even know what staff inspection is. I'll take it, right? and literally, it was like a very quick, smooth transition. They put me in there and absolutely helped. Because it gave me time to just not even think about that anymore. It was like you had to learn something new. You had to start, you know, figuring yeah. out what you mm-hmm. actually have to do and kind of things. And so staff inspections turned out to be fun for me. I get to see every part of this agency. That's how I got to be on your first podcast, yeah, actually, yeah. with Chalmers, because y'all were doing
so that. Just to give a little bit of context for everybody, so mm-hmm. that's under the Professional Standards Bureau, mm-hmm. which includes internal affairs and all that stuff. But there's also strategic planning, and then staff mm-hmm. inspections is part of that. And that's really essentially, truly, staff inspectors. It's part of our accreditation process, and mm-hmm. they just, y'all go through various areas of the agency, learn as much as you can about them, get feedback from mm-hmm. staff, and yep. just to kind of give the sheriff a report of what's happening.
Nailed it.
So talk about, it's not a hard thing to transition into, because mm-hmm. you're used to, even as a deputy, you're used uh-huh. to gathering information and processing and putting together some kind of report. But mm-hmm. was there anything different about it? Like, it sounds like it would be a really cool job, because you get to, number one, you get to meet a lot of people. We're mm-hmm. we're PR people, so we like people. Mm-hmm. But you get to learn all kinds of stuff, too.
I had no idea what y'all did, number one. The deepness of it. Yeah, I know you guys are walking around doing a lot of stuff, but mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's where that goes. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it is. I would have never been exposed to DDC, even, you know, spinning back to, it was never even an option. I didn't have any reason to go to the jail so much. But I'm in DDC. I'm learning what their healthcare division does. They have the whole support section that they do. They have the inmate records, inmate property, all the stuff that's moving and shaking behind the scenes for the deputies in the jail. Property and evidence is another one that I didn't, we almost lived there. Like, yeah. Which is funny because Kalinda's there now. He's
following around.
I know, he's a creeper. But he's we go to property and evidence a lot, and we do a lot of the counts, and we do a lot of the audits. We do SWAT audits. I didn't even know. It's my fun fact that I learned from SWAT. We check their explosives. So, you know, as an audit, we say, you know, you guys got, I'm going to make these numbers up, just whatever. Mm-hmm. So you got 10 pounds of C4, mm-hmm. right? And on the first, but you blew up a couple things and some trainings, but now, you know, you said you used 4 and you should have 6 left. So we mm-hmm. have to make sure those numbers match, which is kind of funny because they were showing us the C4. They were like, you know, we hear C4 in a movie and stuff like that, but, you know, you can have a C8, you can have a C12. It's just the way you build the... Uh-huh.
And they all blow up.
Yeah, it'll blow up. Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Right? They showed us some stuff sometimes or whatever. But
you an audit of, like, monster cans?
As a matter of fact... Don't even get me started on this one. I am the energy drink Nazi. And, oh, God, I can't say that, right? I'm like, you
it's
cannot.
Okay, we're still against Nazis.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay, good. Yeah. So I'm like, you can't eat. You can't drink energy drinks. They're not good for you. They're going to blow your heart up. So anybody who is around me drinking energy drinks, I'm like trying to tap them over and I'm trying to smack it out of their hand.
Like, SWAT then.
They all know. Diebold will tell you.
That's hilarious.
It's terrible. But yes.
Did you get to blow anything up while you were counting?
Mm-mm. No, I steer clear. They're amazing. They are, everything is where it's supposed to be. They have, you know, you can detonate these things and you have the explosives here. So they separate them completely. There's no, it's unlikely, right? You make anything can happen to me around, right? But anyway, they keep them separated. You count this, you count that, and you find out what's where and kind of thing. So, you know, I didn't blow anything up. They offered. They were doing a training, and I was
you should have said yes.
Yeah, that would be like your dream job.
Yeah.
Be an auditor and then just write fun reports with journalistic flair.
Oh, yes.
It's more than just counting things. Yeah, like you're spending a lot of time with wherever you're inspecting.
Oh, yes. Oh, right? So we do a lot of observations. So there's a lot of moving parts in staff inspection. So the staff inspection is number one when I go to the unit and I'm talking to everybody and I'm observing what they do and sitting with them and trying to compile
their reports. Because you hit every area of the whole agency every 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say we do crossing guards to general counsel and everybody in between.
And start over again.
And all over again. And that is the staff inspection is the title, and that's exactly what we do. We make a report for each of those units every 4 years. But outside of that, I can't say when we're not doing a staff inspection because we're almost always doing a staff inspection. We do these audits in between those things and special reports and other things that we are doing. We count narcotics, safe money. We go in there and make sure that all their deputies are accounting for the expenditures that they have.
So if narcotics, we have to go to a bar and flash some cash and make this deal.
I got to get a lap dance or something, right? Yeah, they have to document.
Wow.
I bought some cocaine in the boom boom room, right? So that works in there. So they have to document that, and we have to, you know, show that they have not a receipt because we know we can't get a can I get a receipt for that?
May I have one drug? Yeah. Give me a receipt.
And they go into their little van and all that, and then they have to do that.
Yeah,
like one cocaine, please, ma'am.
Can I write it off my taxes?
Is that a write off?
Yeah,
it's not a write off.
We're actually tax exempt. Here's my form.
Can you sign this for me, please?
I don't know if you're particularly worried about paying your taxes if you're buying drugs at the Boom Boom Room.
No kidding.
That's how they always catch you, though. That's how they caught Al Capone. Taxes.
True. That's true.
That's the start.
So how, obviously, you have places like PR, which were like 15 or 16 strong, but then you're trying to cover. So you're covering the bureau level, or are you doing units, or how does it break down?
Bureau level, and then we break down in that bureau.
Okay.
So, for example, and sorry to all the captains that we hit for the special services, because when I first started, it was... Major Love she's in HR now, right? Mm-hmm. But when we started, she was in special services. Support services. Yeah. I have to fix that. Sorry. She had special events, and I think special ops at the time.
She
was the captain.
She was the captain.
Special ops.
Yeah.
So she had six different units.
I was down there
units.
During that time.
Yeah. Were you? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she had six units under her, and but we have to do this like a timing thing and a report thing. So we ask for, tell us all your accomplishments for the last 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so she has to actually make a memo for that times six of all the units that she's in charge of.
Right.
So once we do that report, we say, hey, you need to respond to all these reports we just did times six.
Right.
And then fast forward
after you've gotten feedback from staff and everything.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And then we do a follow-up. So she has to do it again. So those captains who have multiple people under them,
not
after
great,
y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just got Captain Matthews, and in the jail, Kinzel, we had to get him. So and we do... you know, piece by piece. So it's kind of like your turn. Just get it over. Take the Band-Aid off, right?
Yeah, but, a lot happening. So you're basically, you're looking at is there a certain percentage or ratio of some kind you're trying to meet? Like patrol, for example? I mean, that's huge.
Right. It's almost impossible to get patrol because so many moving parts. By the time you start patrol and get through these interviews, you might have some movement. You might have all kind of things that go on. So we try to minimum 30%, but I'm an overachiever. You know, reckless.
30% is a lot, though.
It is.
That's a lot.
We don't want to send the sheriff a report that says we only spoke to 10 people. You know, 20% of this group cares about this. He's like, that's not enough. That doesn't sway the masses, right? You know, it's not enough. So what we want is, you know, a big enough people so that you don't have just that one group of friends who say, we'll do it, and then all their opinion is in there instead of the other group that might have.
It's just a squeaky wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that 30% is like who you interview and
you
ask different things about, like, do you have what you need? And, I can't remember all the questions. I mean, you've asked me twice.
We asked about the morale in the unit.
Places,
I know. We ask about the morale in the unit. We ask about any equipment needs that they have, any great ideas they might want to share or offer for the sheriff's office, not just for where they are, but
anywhere,
what's working, what's not working. All those kind of things are just like a general thing. And we don't, I just have to ask it generically. So I'm like, how's your communication with your supervisor? And let's say, which one? So now if you have a big chain, you have a sergeant, corporal, sergeant, lieutenant, they might say, oh, you know, my sergeant's here all the time, but you know, my lieutenant, he's pulled in 10 different directions. So we don't see them that much. Something like that is what they would say. But I, you know, sometimes they're like, well, who do you mean? I'm like, tell me whoever you want. I don't tell me. And then we ask the catch-all question at the end is, you know, some people don't know what a staff inspection is. So I say, you know, we did this whole staff inspection. Was there anything that you thought I was going to ask you or you wanted to talk about? And they might say, well, I thought we were going to talk about whatever. So let's talk about it then. You know, so those kind of things come up. And we also send out a survey. So, you know, some people may or may not be comfortable talking to. Oh, back to my ADHD moment. I am an extrovert and I talk a lot and I'm blah, 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 blah. And some people are not. Right. And I just recently heard, you know, just an analogy of, you know, sometimes I'm too much for someone who may not be, you know, I'm sorry. So sorry if I was too much, but I, you know, usually I try to be as welcoming as possible and as warm. Like I want you to tell me what it is, because if we don't say it, then it's just unsaid. If, you know, at some point or another, the sheriff reads it and he's going to put it back in a steel trap somewhere and, you know, maybe he'll come back to it, but at least, you know, he knows and, you know, whatever. So most people, there's a question on there is like, how do you feel about the agency as a whole? And 99%, I want to say there's just somebody that you're not going to, you know, make happy.
Yeah, it is what
but
it is.
99% of the people are like, the sheriff is great. I know he's doing his best for this agency and this, and I'm proud to be here and this is the best agency around. 99% of the people say that. And then they complain about something else, right?
but I want a beard.
Yeah, but yes, yeah, so things like that. We get that. We get the exterior load bearing things for patrol. So you hear stuff like that, but overall, you know, we are winning as an agency. I'm still super proud. I can't sway the staff inspection, but when people say they're happy to be here, I'm like, me too. Like, you know, so.
who inspects the inspectors? Do you interview each other?
Old inspectors. Nope. Old ones.
They do it in the mirror.
Old ones? What do you mean?
Prior. Retired? Yeah. No.
That's what I mean. The old ones. What do you mean?
Inspector Gadget.
Okay. Okay.
Clace did our last one.
You mean literally old inspector?
Yeah. Yeah. He's so nice though.
He is nice.
Crystalyn Johnson is, she could do it too. So anybody who was a staff inspector in the past can come back.
You get to see every part of the agency. Which are your favorites? Which ones do you have the most fun inspecting? Or
not canine, since you don't like dogs.
Right, yeah. And I'm allergic. Canine. So I go in there and I'm sneezing and crying. So it's terrible.
Like that, or even like, what are some that you think other members should really like, they don't realize, you know,
what goes into
it, right? Anything. Gosh. What stands out to you?
You get to see everything. We get to see everything, but you really get to see everything.
I have to say the airport. I like the helicopter. The airport, the hangar.
Flight.
Yeah, the flight unit.
Flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I like the way they can zoom in and read your text messages. And you have no idea they're in the sky. So I thought that was pretty cool. But they do a really good job. You know, they are in conjunction with the canine. They're chasing people and seeing all this cool stuff. And they're watching it from the top. I think that's an interesting perspective. And when I rode with them, you know what? It was a while ago. So at the time it was Smith. Brian Smith, he said he flies all the time, so he knows what the from the top of the buildings look like. My orientation was so bad up there. I was like, where are we? He was like, that's that, and that's that. I was like,
No clue.
Right? Again, I was
like, nothing looked the same, but he said that looked normal to him.
Have you had any circumstances where you put something in a report and then, you know, a couple of years later you saw that thing get fixed? Like things were people complaining about, and then the sheriff read it and it's like, oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to take care of that.
Uniform changes come up a lot. Not only just the vest, but I think crossing guards finally got some new.
They did. They're in the works right now.
Yeah, they got their new changes, and then
and that's so with the crossing guards. As I understand it, there was a problem because a lot of the crossing guard population is older. They were having a problem like putting the little pins through the shirts, and that might have been a problem that, you know.
Yeah,
they might have been embarrassed to talk about, or didn't think it was worthwhile talking about. And then it went up, and now they have embroidered shirts.
Well, yeah, because they had to like take those things off in order to wash it, and it's white.
It is,
and then to put them back
on every single time.
Your fine motor skills
It does get hard.
You know, they degrade over time. So,
yeah, that's fair. And the other said, they said that the brass would get hot standing in the sun because a lot of times they didn't have a lot of shade. Yeah. So they did put some shade spots up for some of them who don't. I mean, because I was standing on the side of like Belcher and where was I?
Oh, God, yeah, nursing. You're standing out there with them.
Yeah, it was hot. And I'm in my book. I'm like, there's my pit stains. I'm sweating.
That's what I was thinking. When you said 30%, I was like, 30% of the crossing guards, too?
Yes, yes. It was
so
hot.
There's like 200 of those.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Blow the whistle and walk out there like...
No, I wait. So I can't interrupt anybody's actual workflow.
Sure.
Crossing guards have a big wave of kids that come, you know, they pretty much that are walkers. A lot of kids, you know, I grew up north, so we all walked everywhere. It was not a thing. Mm-hmm. But all these kids get dropped off all the time, mm-hmm. it seems like. So there's a wave of walkers somehow or another. And then once they're done, they might have one or two stragglers. So once you get that big wave through, then they had enough time for me to ask a couple questions and then mm-hmm. get back for that one or two that would come by. But yeah, it was hot. It's like, I get it.
Yeah, they're tougher than all of us, actually.
Yeah, they are eating it because I'd be complaining.
Yeah. So what's next for you after staff inspections?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I did take the sergeant's exam.
Okay.
Hint, hint, wink, wink. No, just kidding.
Did you pass it?
I did.
I would assume with your 100%. 100%.
100%
pass. I'm ready to solve the puzzle. 100%
pass. I don't even know how the grading works. Right.
Yeah. It was my first time taking it, though. I mean, it was a little unnerving because there were a couple years ago when I was going to take it, and I put my name on the list, and then I think possibly... the change with CAC happened, and then I was like, I'm not in the right mind to try to do it now.
Right.
So got off the list, and then another year went by, and I was like, okay. And then I think the sheriff sent out that email, and he was like, you better take it and pass it. You're not enough of this foolishness, right? So then I was like, challenge accepted, right? And I was like, because I don't fail any tests, right? So I get all my stuff together, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get myself together. And I studied and studied and studied. So I did pass it.
Yeah.
100% passed it. There we go.
Nice. I like 100% that. I like passed.
That. That was good.
Yeah. Still, 100% passed. I love that. So, Sergeant, maybe in the cards? So, maybe?
Between now and never, I guess, right? But I'm still very happy to be here. There's not one part of this agency that I think that I wouldn't be happy at. And, you know, I'll do my best anywhere, of course. It is what it is.
But there's got to be a place that you want to. There's got to be a place.
Or a couple you're interested in or something, maybe.
Okay. To be fair, I would love TIS. In a perfect world, that would be awesome for me. I would absolutely love
Tactical
it.
Tactical investigation section?
Yeah. That's
You love pulling people over for drugs and
kicking
people.
Doors.
And it's kind of like
I meant before, I was like, mm-hmm. you didn't go into narcotics with loving to get people for drugs?
I should have. I just think at the time, it was just no way I could have been in narcotics with kids. I had kids in school. They were like, I know your son. I know your next somebody. And I know you're a deputy.
Mommy, what's this in your purse? Yeah.
How come you're at the strip club again? Or, what is the boom boom room?
Yeah.
Wait, is there a boom boom room?
And Dunedin, isn't that what it's called?
It was the chick-a-boom room.
Close enough.
Close.
That's not the same kind of place.
Only one bomb.
Boom.
Yeah, it says boom.
Chick-a-boom.
Boom, boom works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think at the time there was, and it's always a timing thing. I think I think at one point I was going to be able to come with y'all, and then CAC came up, and y'all, but you know, PIO. Mm-hmm. And at that time I was like, oh, I want a CAC so bad, and I was like, I'll just go to CAC, and then that ship sailed. Yeah. But
TIS, yeah.
But TIS would be, I think, fun for me, or maybe like SRO. I like kids, you know me.
Yeah, kids and drugs.
Get them in line. Kids and drugs. That's what
I think it'd be really good in TIS. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you like about TIS? What is it that appeals to you?
They are. They're very organized. So I did their staff inspection. Okay. So let's go back to that. I have so many stories and so many different things I did. They just all come together at once, and I might mix up a story. But anyway, when I was with TIS, it was just really cool. They kind of had this minivan, and they were kind of set up on this person, and they all work together, and they watch people. They just sit on them. They're not being dangerous. So, you know, normally we're kicking in doors. Not normally we, but people are kicking in doors and going to dangerous places to do stuff.
Yeah.
No, they're going to come out sooner or later. They can find a ruse. They can get them out for whatever reason. But whatever, they'll just wait. So they sit around and wait. And like, oh, they're on the move. And I remember the time I was actually observing them and riding with them. they followed some guy out randomly. He wasn't even supposed to be out. What happened was it started raining, mm-hmm. and I guess his son called and said, come pick me up because it's raining. That's what we found out later. Uh-huh. They got in conjunction and kind of did the follow and followed mm-hmm. him around the corner to the store to pick up his son. Curry at the time, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Before the van even stopped, he was like slow rolling out the side of the door and had this man down on the ground. It was now, again, this is me on the outside looking in thinking this is so cool, like TV, right? Like, I could be that badass, right? I want to do this. I want to do this. Yeah. Right? But good, not good. There was the little boy who had called to go home. He got scared and he ran back into, I think it was like a Family Dollar, and he ran back into the store. And I'm like, where'd that little kid go? Where'd, so I go into the store, like, where'd that little boy go? So he was kind of standing in the back of the store all sad. And aww. I was like, oh, God, come give me a hug, baby. You know, so I was like, you know, I grabbed his hand. I said, it's okay. You know, his dad is not hurt. He wants to make sure you're okay. Come out here and talk to him. And he came back out and father was like, it's okay, honey. It's okay, but boy. And he was like, are you okay? And he was like, I'm fine. It's all right. And so it was kind of interesting, the dynamics that kind of happened mm-hmm. with that. So as much as that happens, you still have that backstory that's going on, and the kids can be traumatized from something like that. But we didn't know. We just, you know, we were getting
You gotta do your thing.
Yeah, you gotta do your thing. And so hopefully I helped the little boy along. It was really nice and he was cute, and his parents came and got him, and then it was not bad. But but Tiz is
it,
I do like the research they do. They know what these people are doing.
A lot of strategy.
And I think that's the good fun part of it.
And they're going off
safe apprehensions. Nothing, you know, he didn't have enough time to think. He was out of that van before
it happened.
So that's
skill.
These
are all people that
training.
Have like warrants for their arrest. They did something dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's
or
not just
the other thing that I just think is cool about Tiz. If they ever needed like an embedded, you know, PR person, I'm the one.
Nice.
But
me and you, we got it.
Yeah, we got it.
Set it up.
And I can shoot a little bit and drive. but they also go after, you know, if we got to get somebody, if we got to find this person.
Yes.
You know. Mm-hmm. That's who they're calling.
100%.
It's Tiz. Yeah. They're on it. You know, they went after when they were trying to track down Hartwick's killer, all those mm-hmm. things. Like, it's Tiz. That's it. And of course, they're all very good at what they do, but it's also just the way they operate.
Yeah. And you have to have a good group of people to trust and understand and work good working relationship. And I think they're pretty good together. I think my first experience was CAC with them, Crimes Against Children, when I was a detective. If they wanted to do a search warrant or something, mm-hmm. Tiz would sit on the house for days before.
Right.
He goes to work at 6. He comes home at 5. He's, you know, and they knew. So mm-hmm. when we went to go hit the house, we knew who was
everything
in that house.
It
was just
the team effort.
So when you talk about the peripherals of patrol and the things that people do and just all the other things that happen in law enforcement, that is just kind of like amazing if you don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully Citizens Academy might get some of that and see.
They do. They get a little bit.
Yeah.
Good.
Not all the good stuff, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I like to jump in on y'all and get food.
Welcome anytime.
Anytime, yeah.
I
anytime.
Know, Citizens Academy, I'm in the back like, hi guys, and end up getting a plate.
Ooh, but
sorry.
So are your kids all, are they all out of the house, or you still got some you're dealing with? This is transitioning to what do you do for fun.
All right. Okay, well, good. No, well, backstory, there's a cute lady, and you know what someone tells me, and this is kind of a good thing, seek wise counsel, right? Mm-hmm. You ever heard that term? Somebody who's been there, done that. Mm-hmm. Don't ask somebody who's where you are. Mm-hmm. Get somebody who's seen the end of the story somewhere, or a little bit further into the story. So I remember telling this lady, I was like, well, when they're 18, they'll be out, and I'll be done, and I've done my job, right? And she said, girl, bye. My son is 40, and I still take care of him, right? You know, and I was like, oh, damn it. That's for life. They're mine, right? You know, so, right? So I do have older children home. So I have 2 adult children and 2 minor children, and then I have my stepson and my I have 2 stepsons and an adult stepdaughter. So we have a blended family now of 7 children. Mm-hmm. My adult daughter is married. My adult stepdaughter is out and married. My adult stepson is in the Coast Guard.
Oh,
I just have my adult daughter, biological daughter, and my adult son. Jesus, I'm going to fix this somehow, right?
Yeah.
There's 7. It's
right, 7 kids. Yeah, exactly. They're both home. Somebody told me, you know, it's so hard. You can't buy a house out here. You just mm-hmm. can't afford anything. They, you know, they got to get themselves together. They probably would kill me if I told too many stories. So I'm going to try to bite my lip. But they are very good kids. I am blessed and fortunate to have such an abundance of love in a family of just kids who get along. They're not causing any trouble. And they just got to figure their mm-hmm. adult lives out somehow mm-hmm. or another.
And they're lucky to have you.
Oh,
it all works out. Togetherness.
Huh? Yes. Yes.
So what do you like to get into for fun outside of work? What do you do?
Oh God, just
I know you're a pretty intense bike rider.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So two parts to that story. Uh-huh. And I don't know if what months this goes in or not, but I recently had a terrible experience, but so I cannot ride this year, right?
For the Unity Tour?
Yeah, for the Police uh-huh. Unity Tour. Okay. There's a
and tell us what the Police Unity Tour is.
It's a bike ride from four fallen officers. So nationwide fallen officers, they do a bike ride fundraiser to raise awareness and raise money for the memorial that is in D.C. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we take a bike ride. It's just about 275 or 270 miles from Virginia into D.C. So it's 3 days. You know, the first day is like 110 miles. The second day is 80, and then the third is, you know, 70 something days or something weird like that.
Miles. We got you. Jesus. Keep going. You're good.
All right. So we do that bike ride and we ride into DC and it's so amazing. And Jackie Kaplan and Jason Jackson were doing, I want to say not Discovery Day, but one of the PCSO night outs. What do you call it?
National Night Out.
Mm-hmm. They had a fundraising tent there mm-hmm. one time and I brought my kids to it and I saw them and I saw the bike and I'm thinking, oh, that looks cool. And they were like, oh yeah, we ride this bike ride. And they were like, well, you're athletic, you can ride a bike. And I'm like, yeah, I know how to ride a bike, I can do this, right? They didn't tell me. Like,
you were a CPO.
Oh, yes.
You had like specialized bike courses, right?
That was so very different. So yes, I can ride a bike, right? Uh-huh. Who doesn't know how to, you know, skin your knee, ride a bike, whatever. But that's a mountain bike with big wheels and, you know, uh-huh. knobby tires, I imagine, right? So that's what I learned how to ride on my uh-huh. entire life. I didn't know that road bikes were different than that and they have little skinny tires and they don't mm-hmm. you know, they're not as forgiving when you try to change terrain, right? Uh-huh. So I had a couple spills to get that figured out. So yes, the CPO unit and the bike, uh-huh. they taught us a lot. We rode down some stairs.
How do you ride a bike downstairs?
I don't know. Just go and hold on tight.
All right, maybe how do you stop a bike when you get to the bottom of the stairs?
I believe it's supposed to be.
Hopefully there's a wall there.
No, hopefully not. I don't know.
You want to stop.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to get to the end and then try to, you know, kick off to the side and stop uh-huh. the trajectory of the bike and change the angle. Maybe you can go a little slower, but I think I did it. I survived. Yeah. But yeah, it was really cool. They went down a couple of, like, you know, shallow stairs first time just to get the feel of the bump, bump, bump. Mm-hmm. And they were like, here's it. You got to do the big stairs if you want to pass this course. And they're like, that's impossible. That cannot be the way. No, there's no way. Somebody would die. But, you know, I'm not going to fail. Mm-hmm. You know, uh-huh. I'm too competitive. So I jump in and I'm thinking, well, if I die, it's going to.
If I die, I die.
So I said, okay, I'll go do this thing. And I start at the top and it was a class of like 12 of us, I think. I could be mm-hmm. more. But anyway, I wasn't the
CPO?
First one, CPO.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I watched two people do it, right? So I got to watch somebody else mm-hmm. do it successfully because mm-hmm. then I know I get the courage, right? So, but I did it and it was not bad. And it was in some way in Clearwater, some steep set of stairs that go all the way down to like mm-hmm. this weird alley kind of thing. And it wasn't bad. It was fun. So I got my weight up. I'm a better rider now. I'm a certified IPIMBA bike rider. I'm all that. So then here goes this bike ride. Distance and speed are what they want. So I can ride a bike, but I didn't know where my wall was. So here I am thinking I'm going to keep up with this team. And they do 15 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. 70 mile rides, 75 mile rides, 50 mile ride, whatever it is, they do, Saturday we're going to go 50 miles, right? Uh-huh. So the first time I went with them, I was, I had my husband on speed dial. I was like, if I die, you know, it's whatever. So we rode, and right around like 28 or 30 miles, I hit my wall. I was like, just go. And I told my husband, come pick me up. So after like 12, come pick me up. So I was like, this. I'm not riding with y'all anymore because it's embarrassing. So mm-hmm. I just started riding by myself and I was like, I am not, they're not going to embarrass me anymore. I'm going. So finally I just figured out, I think it was like some kind of hydration thing. You had to take these, some of them are like energy gummy things or whatever, mm-hmm. like not those gummies. But anyway, so you go, those would help you get along, but it's like carbs and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I was reading what to eat, preparing and making sure I did it, and then I was able to go.
And then
no one told me, so they told me it was like 100 miles, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought I had to ride 100 miles straight. I remember riding, and I was scared to put my foot down and take a drink of water because I didn't want to stop my time. I thought I couldn't stop for this. So I was practicing like that to do 100 miles nonstop. So that first year, I killed it. I was a beast. I was like, yeah. It was like doing insanity, right? Because I was over-prepared for the academy when I did it. But so now I can.
But what do they actually do? Like 20, 30 miles, take a break?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes. Yeah. No one told me. So when it was time to take a break, I'm like, why are we taking a break? I'm not prepared. What are y'all doing? Yeah. You need a break? Right? So it was terrible. But so the bike ride, I do love that. And I still ride, even with the team. Sometimes I try to keep up with them. And I still fundraise with them. I'm still a part of the team. But this year I can't ride because of that terrible event. But yeah. But then I also like running. So running was first. I was always a runner.
Back on the track team.
My cheerleading track days, right? So after my, I don't know, remarried kind of thing. But during my first divorce, I needed something to do. I needed to burn some energy. So I started running. And I saw one of the, we was doing a detail, actually. And it was a 5K detail. I'm on a post. And I saw, actually it was Kelman's. He might not, I'm sorry, name dropping. But it was Corporal Kelman had was running by. And I'm like, I know that face. And he was like, oh, yeah, I do these all the time, whatever. And she's like eating it for breakfast. I was like, I'm going to start running, right? So, and that's literally what got me going.
Running.
Yeah, I did. Side note, that's actually a good one. Okay, so side note. I run now all the time, but I made it a goal to try to run one 5K in every state. So I'm doing 50 by 50 by 50 is what I want to do, right? So I'm going to do 50 states before I turn 50, 5K in all the states, right? In Utah, I went to Utah to run. There's a place in Utah where Forrest Gump did his famous, I think I'll stop now, turn around, do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently that's what it was.
So how many states have you gotten through?
I'm at 23-ish because I did Canada. So Canada doesn't count because it's not a state, but I'm international runner.
So, all right. So, you'll just fly in just for a 5K. You'll find one you want to do and just go do it.
Yes. So my friends laugh at me because I'll fly Spirit. I don't care. Whatever. I'm not scared of Spirit. I'm not scared of Breeze. We'll do it. If it's a cheap flight direct, I'm going.
Matter. As long as you get a seat inside.
You'll start to mount your run.
Give me a seat.
Yeah, give me a seat.
Breeze was as big as my I call it an SU van. Do you ever see the Kia Carnival?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like the crossover SU van. Thank you.
It's like an executive transport vehicle. The seats recline. I don't have one, but I've seen one, and I'm like, damn, if that didn't look like a minivan, I'd drive it.
It's an SU van. Just kidding. They are so nice. But the Breeze airplane looked as big as that. No bigger than that.
When you're ready for tech, like, hey, what'd you have for lunch? Just trying to check weights. It's
that's
not a good sign.
What it was. Yeah. Oh. The pilot came out from the front. And he was like, hey, I'm Tyler. He was like, he's 10.
He's 10.
And then he was like, this was to the Police Unity Tour a couple years ago. And that was the only direct flight. And he goes, I'll have you in Richmond in about 2 hours, but we were going to Norfolk. We weren't even going.
Uh-oh.
I was like,
I got in the wrong band. Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to die.
God.
But I started praying, and we were like, okay.
Made it
safely. It was actually a nice flight, but it was,
Well, they call it Spirit. You're trying to stay in touch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And you like to try new things. And I heard that you have added actress to your resume.
Oh, my gosh.
How did that happen?
Tell it with the accent. Tell it with the accent.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been to that part of Boston.
Yeah. that section. Back to my reckless ambition, right? I had nothing to do on the weekend, right? And my husband go, well, let's find something. So he opened the phone and he looked for Google what to do in St. Petersburg this weekend. And he said, do you know they're doing audition for Margaritaville? And I said, audition? What is that? How do you do an audition? And he says, we just go. He said, just show up. So the audition.
So it's like a theater company. Okay.
In Largo.
Okay.
I'm going in and out.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, you do. Can I name drop?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
Director Crockett's daughter was there, Paige. And I knew who she was because I actually did her staff inspection right before she left. But when she came back, it was in a different thought process. Mm-hmm. But so I met her during that, which was very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But they said they wanted a Caribbean woman who is going to be like the bartender type thing. Mm-hmm. So all the way back in Boston when I was there, I had a best friend from Jamaica. And this is how her mother talked to us all the time. She said, it's time to go. Your company got to go home now. So that's what she was saying. So I said, I can do an accent pretty good. I am going to go audition for this, even though I have no talent and no skill, right? So they said,
beg to differ.
They said, bring a headshot. And I said, I don't have a headshot.
About the Sonic photo. Yeah.
No. And I said, bring our resume. I said, our resume of what? Well, I work at the sheriff's office. There's no, I don't have anything for you. So I go and I said, listen, I just want to try because I can do a really good accent.
Yeah, forget it.
And I can sing. It was like a singing part. They wanted me to sing and try. So I said, okay. And they let me do the entire audition. No accent. They never heard it. I didn't even try it at the audition part.
That's smart.
I know. But they called me back, I don't know, a couple of days later, and they said, we want to have you here for a callback. And I said, okay, I'll be there. I don't know what it is, but I'll be there. And I got off the phone. I said, what is a callback? I had to Google it because I didn't know what that meant. And I said, and as the Google said, they like you. They want you to see some more of what you got there. So I said, okay, I'll go.
It's time for the accent to come out.
So that's what I did. I went back to the audition and they made us like read the script and they said, we want you to read it with your accent. And So I did the whole thing with it and they were like, okay, you're sold. We'll take it.
Done. Where do we sign?
Yeah. So I use my fake accent all the time. And it was so good. That show like sold out. Now, I'm going to tell you that it was amazing because I don't know that I would ever be able to do something like that again. The cast was amazing. It was so fun. It was so lively. And it was right on the heels of Jimmy Buffett actually dying. So it was kind of like
that helped.
People wanted some of that. Yeah, right. It did. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Right? And I'm like, well, yeah, uh-huh. Go, well, was he dead or did he?
Was he going to die of a coma?
Right.
Just needed a cocaine. Well,
he's just laying there holding a piece of sponge cake, you know? He needs some sponge cake.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So, that's messed up.
This is my most recent new thing.
That's a new thing. So mm-hmm. What's next?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it would be fun again. It was a crazy once-in-a-lifetime experience that all worked out.
What new crazy thing do you want to try that you haven't done before? You're always going. This is fascinating.
I know. I don't know yet.
No?
You said you were going to try line dancing?
Oh,
you tried that
God,
yet?
Yeah. No, I haven't tried it. So I'm trying to get some friends. Anybody?
You got to work a different accent for that one.
I don't think I have
a... Hey, y'all.
I do say y'all a lot, but now I'm laughing too hard. I don't have it. Hey, y'all, you want to go line dancing?
Yeah. Come on, girl.
But yes, I have to look the part, though. I'm going to get the cowboy boots. Yeah, yeah. And it's got to be a lot of glitter, right? And I'm going to go.
Some rhinestones.
Mm-hmm. But I have to practice first. So my stepson, who's in the Coast Guard, he's the one who's like, he loves it.
Let's go line dancing.
Yeah, he showed me a couple of things, and I was like, give me the easy ones.
That's awesome. Well, you're a lot of fun, Saida. I knew you would be. That's why I wanted you to come on the
it's
podcast.
It's going to be so bad.
No, it's great. It's fantastic. Yes. I think we all had a blast. We also like to give all of our guests an opportunity. If there's something that you think the public needs to know about the sheriff's office, about law enforcement in general, it could be a safety tip. It can be anything, something you experience, anything. Like, what is something that you think the public needs to know?
And I know this was coming, right? Oh, my God, this is not even going to match, but I'm going to say it. I don't care.
Yeah, don't need to match.
For the sheriff's office, or just for the community in general, it's hard to find help for juveniles. So I know we have a broken system somewhere in between the help that they need and the help that they actually get. So if you are a loving, caring person and you like kids, try to foster some kids and give them a loving, loving home or somewhere that at least somebody is putting some good investment. I think the more positive adults in a child's life gives them a better kickstart for life. So...
That was a good one. Okay. That was a really good one.
That's all I got.
No, that was great. Yeah. That was a really good one. We haven't had that one before. We always have some mix of some of the other things, but that was good. That was deep.
Yeah.
Didn't need to match. It's perfect.
Okay, good. Because that's my heart.
Take care of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we appreciate our listeners. And there are, of course, ways that you can reach us to give us feedback, to ask us questions, to recommend folks for the podcast. We're on Instagram, 56 Podcast, all spelled out as the handle. But you can also send us an email. Laura, where might they send that email?
They might and should send it to lets56@pcsonet.com. That's lets56@pcsonet.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening, everybody.